When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is going on, Eagles fans? Welcome to the Philly Pod. Obviously, welcome back for those that are returning. We hope you would return to this Eagles podcast that we're planning on dropping now multiple times a week. You know, we're kicking into full gear now. The Eagles just finished off their first preseason game, the only home preseason game on the schedule this year. We're going to be recapping that as well as, another day of, I don't even know, do you consider it training camp or practice today? Today, Sunday the 14th, today being Sunday
still
the
camp,
14th.
I guess, day 11 of, or the, it's the 11th practice of training camp, I guess you could call it. But I get it, after preseason, it doesn't feel like training camp anymore. Now it's just practices. But yeah, technically, yeah, training camp, I guess.
So that's why we're here. Obviously, we were also in attendance for that game, as well as the open practice. We're going to be actually having a video/vlog-style video dropping on our YouTube channel. That's the Liberty Line YouTube channel in the coming, I would hope, hours and days. So check that out. Great time. Like, here's the thing, man. I know you can touch on this. We've built this. You've built your community here through social media, obviously, and that's kind of like where the world is going. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, there's still going to be, we're at a point in time now where, you know, everybody's allowed to attend games. There's not really anything holding that back, at least we hope, right? I know there's some sort of like monkeypox thing going around. I hope that doesn't.
Oh, yeah, the next pandemic is on the way, apparently.
So it's just great to see all of you people, especially those that recognize us. I try my best to recognize some of, you know, some of the fans from Twitter and stuff like that. Eagles fans, obviously. So it's just fun, man. It's just a great experience. I highly recommend everybody get out. I know game tickets are not affordable whatsoever, but go to the tailgates, man. It's a great time. You can meet us there, meet plenty of other like-minded people, you know?
Yeah, it is a good time. The preseason game was a good time, as well as the open practice. A lot of people come out to those things. It surely was a good time. We'll get into everything we saw in preseason, as well as camp today, and some rumors that are going around as well. I'm your host, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Do the same on Instagram and TikTok, the voice you were just hearing. To start off the show with Stephen Conrad Jr.
Sorry,
be sure
for not
to follow
introducing
him.
Myself.
That's cool. The people know who you are by now. But go ahead and follow him on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Real Stephen Conrad Jr. Like Stephen mentioned, if you're new to the show, thanks for tuning in. If you found us through Instagram or TikTok, whatever avenue you found us through, appreciate you guys for tuning into the podcast and checking it out. If you like it and you want to stick around, be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your podcast. If you like it even more, be sure to rate 5 stars and leave those reviews. Please leave the reviews and the ratings. They are very,
wait
very
till
important.
You're at the red light. You know what I'm saying? Don't
wait till the red light, dude. Yeah, but please, the ratings, they help. They go a long way for helping the growth of the show, and that each and every one does help, and it's greatly appreciated. We celebrate damn near every single one we get. So thank you guys for doing that on Apple. Be sure to go ahead and leave those ratings for us so we can keep doing this and covering the Eagles and having a good time and providing the the analysis and the fan perspective all in one that we try to do here. As always, shout out to the sponsors, SeatGeek, the leading mobile-focused ticket platform that enables fans to buy and sell tickets for sports, concerts, and theater events. Like Steven mentioned, tickets aren't cheap, but if you're planning on buying some, every dollar counts. Go over to SeatGeek.com, find the tickets you're looking for, use promo code THEPHILLYPOD, and it will give you $20 off your first ticket purchase. Gas is crazy these days. I think it's coming down, actually, finally. But hey.
I was going to say that $20 off could cover parking, but unfortunately, the parking situation is a lot worse, too.
It'll cover your beer, a single beer. That's $20.
Well, that's why you go to the tailgates, man. Everything. Yeah, well, you would hope you can run into somebody who'll give you a free beer.
Yeah. Definitely. That's a good
point.
We will personally. So be sure to go ahead and do that. SeatGeek.com, promo code THEPHILLYPOD gets you $20 off your first ticket purchase. Doesn't have to be the Eagles. Sixers are coming up. They just announced at the Garden, I believe. Christmas at the Garden, right? MSG, the Sixers and Knicks at the Garden on Christmas. And all the other Sixers games. Harden's coming back. We're making a push for a title this year. The Phillies, I think they just got shut out by the Mets on two consecutive games. But if you want to catch them when Bryce Harper comes back, SeatGeek.com, promo code THEPHILLYPOD gets you $20 off your first purchase. Thank you guys for going ahead and doing that to support the podcast as well. So like Steven mentioned, preseason, we were in attendance, club boxing, because we got it like that. We don't got it like that, but we were lucky enough to get club boxing to go ahead and check out the Eagles as they took on the New York Jets in week one of preseason. The only home game, sadly, this preseason that will be at the Link. But boy, was it a hell of a first series for the Birds and Jalen Hurts in year three. And he put on a hell of an impression, man. If he's taking that next step in his development and becoming a true pocket passer, these six passes, I know it was only six passes in a preseason game against the vanilla defense in a scripted offense. But he looked damn good, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. I thought most notably on the deep, I guess we'll consider it a deeper pass the first play of the game was that play action under center to Quez down the sideline. How many yards was that? That was
28 yarder right from the jump to Quez along the sideline. Nice touchdown.
And there was
too.
A pass rush immediately in his face. So Jalen, you know, had to run to his right and throw on the run, you know, mm-hmm. A+ throw. I don't think you could have, you know, thrown it any better.
Hell of a toe tap by Quez too. Hell of a toe tap.
Yeah. That obviously the touchdown pass to Goddard was awesome, but you know the plays leading up to that, it was. I mean, I thought he was reading the defense well. I think he hit Miles once or twice. He hit Jack Stahl in the middle of the field. So what was that? Is that six right there? Who else did he hit?
I don't remember. I think two to Miles, one to Stahl, one to Goddard, two to Quez, because Quez like ran backwards on one of the completions. So yeah, six mm-hmm. passes. All in total, I know four of them were
all over the field, by the way.
Yeah, I know four of them were like kind of underneath and checkdowns, whatever you want to call them. But hey, he looks decisive in my humble opinion. He looked decisive. He looked accurate. He looked like he made quicker decisions. It looks like it's getting easier for him to process things in the NFL. And again, I know it's preseason. You can only take away so much from one series in the preseason. But I was encouraged.
This is all we have to judge right now.
This is all we have to judge other than the training camps we were able to see. But yeah, I mean, hopefully this is a glance of what's to come in 2022. And my favorite thing about the Goddard throw is that he put it right in the soft spot in coverage because there was a single high safety over the top, and they had a corner on AJ Brown, and AJ Brown kind of cleared the way for Dallas Goedert. He was on a post route towards the middle of the end zone, and he ran up the corner, ran with him, and then he kind of cleared out the safety because, you know, A.J. Brown is scary as shit. So he cleared out the safety because the safety was paying attention to him in the end zone. And it made space for Dallas Goedert. And I liked the play design. Hurts read it perfectly. And he put a perfect ball on the money. And if this is an inkling of what's to come in 2022, boy, it is. It's so much better seeing it in a preseason game than training camp because, you know, training camp is training camp and you can only do so much. And it was just encouraging to see it as that. Steven, what were some other standouts from the first series or throughout the game? Because I think we peeled out of there maybe halfway through the third once we realized Reed Sinnett was not a good quarterback.
Well, really quickly, how soon have you forgotten on that first series alone, Jalen was forced right, scrambled, mm-hmm. and was clearly hit well after.
Oh, yeah, the late hit. Yeah,
the play was over. Well after. Yeah. I mean, he leveled. Took two steps out of bounds, and whoever.
he was damn near by the bench, and he got fucking leveled.
And Sirianni, to most Eagles fans' delight, and especially mine, came at Robert Saleh's neck, to say the least. You know, you can read his lips. I mean, he definitely gestured several different F-bombs. Look, it's in the heat of battle. There's some people who don't like it. Don't like the hits or don't like the coaching. They don't like Sirianni doing that. I'm going to be honest, man. Like, this is all I'll say on it, and I'll die on this hill. This is my take on those exact circumstances, because Sirianni addressed it after the game, and I'm sure he apologized to Sala or whatever. And they're coaches. They get it. But there's so many people who, in these moments, I can tell either, you know, they didn't grow up in a competitive sports environment, or they just didn't grow up playing sports at all, because that's just like, it's just, stuff happens, man. It's in the heat of the game. He's protecting his franchise quarterback. Like,
right.
You would have thought Jalen suffered a head injury after that play with how hard he got hit. And Zach Wilson on the other end looked like he suffered some, it was damn near a non-contact injury. Luckily, he's only out for, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
2 to 4 with a bone bruise. It was speculated that it was a torn ACL when it happened, but he got lucky and it was only a bone bruise. So he might be ready by week 1, but we'll see. But yeah, I mean, when you get leveled like that, when you're 4 steps out of bounds and you get checked
Sirianni's not supposed to say anything?
Yeah, what's he not supposed to react? Yeah, of course. And it's a fun fact about Sirianni and Hertz's relationship. You know that handshake they do? The little like guitar or whatever? Apparently, Hertz and his son are the only people Sirianni does that handshake with, because that's how much Hertz means to him. So, yeah. And you were a fan of Hertz wearing the, we were in Xfinity and we saw it. You were a fan of Hertz wearing the headset at the end of the game.
Yeah, game's well over at that point, huh?
Game's well over. Who's he coaching at that point? Who's he even, what is he, radioing plays in?
Yeah, we went over to Xfinity, guys, like, we'll just say in the second half, because it's just... Yeah, I got boring.
We're not going to sit there and do all that. So a player, of course, that stood out to me was the both Georgia boys, honestly. But after a lackluster camp, I'll say, just not very flashy, not doing a whole lot. This man, Kobe Dean, injury concerns and all, was in there wreaking havoc. 4 solo tackles. And, of course, we all know he played most of his Georgia career behind Georgia Davis. And now he has that same luxury in Philadelphia, and if that tandem, you know, is in Philadelphia for a long time, they are going to wreak havoc with Jordan Davis commanding all that attention up front, creating space for N'Kobe Dean to operate. It was intriguing to see it. And Kaiser White making plays. He had the interception on the 5th play from scrimmage. I'm not used to seeing linebackers make plays like that in Philadelphia. I'm used to linebackers facing the other way or breaking the other direction when things happen or just being left in the dust. How great is it to see, not only here now, like, because we had talked about the signings all summer long, how great was it to see it in effect that we have linebackers who are actually can make smart decisions in the middle of the field?
Well, the Eagles front 7, which I feel like, it's just different now because we have competent linebackers. Like, this is a fearsome front 7. You know what I'm saying? Like, this defensive line probably has 2 rotations deep that you could argue are starters, right? The defensive line alone. And then you look at the linebacking corps completely, you know, overhauled. And obviously, like, N'Kobe Dean's young. There's some development there. But, like, Kaiser White alone, that addition, like, just night and day difference when you compare him to what the Eagles had before. And, again, I know it's preseason, but, like, man, He popped to me, man, when just watching like the minimal snaps that he did get. I mean, like you said, just making plays everywhere. That's the thing, man. I felt like before the linebacking corps was so bad, and there were some people who were holding on to the fact that guys like Nate Gary, who else do we need to throw in there?
Singleton,
like Alex Singleton, all those bums, man. Those bums have a high tackle, you know, stat at the end of the game, and I'm just, that doesn't tell you the story, you know? Like when you watch guys like Kaiser White, for example, who we have now, are making plays. He's going out there and making plays. He's not just waiting for it to come to him. He's going and making it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just to see that interception and the way he did it, undercut the pass, read it the whole way. That's instincts. You can't teach stuff like that.
Yep.
To have a linebacker drop back in coverage and not get cooked repeatedly is a refreshing sight to see. So I'm glad that we have that situation happening. And it's good to see N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis, that Georgia continuity, and seeing that dominance kind of flash and translate to an NFL setting is also encouraging. So, man, this defense is going to be something. Flipping to the offense, if you're watching the broadcast, and if you didn't know it by Ross Tucker mentioning his name over and over and over again, then I don't know where you've been, because Cam Jurgens was all over the place in that first half. Played the entire first half with both the first and the second team, routinely throwing defensive tackles out the way, just straight up eliminating defenders, just swinging out. Like, I know it's been said ad nauseum to this point that he is the heir apparent to Jason Kelce, and he's Kelce 2.0. But he looks like it out there, and it's apparent and it's evident it's evident why the Eagles were so excited to grab this guy, and Jason Kelce in particular handpicked him, and you saw why in the first half of that preseason game. With Kelce out for this elbow surgery he just had, they almost don't have to rush him back in week one, because for whatever reason he can't play, Cam Jurgens proved that he can hold it down in his absence.
Oh yeah, man. And honestly, like to a bigger extent, like, to me, my biggest takeaway from this preseason game, you know, besides Jalen Hurts looking really good, really comfortable, more mature in the offense, obviously, the draft class, man. Mm. And again, I know it's one preseason game, but, like, you know, they all showed some great flashes in that game. It makes you feel really good about this draft class. And if this Eagles team is going to be a legit, you know, I'm not going to say contender just yet, but, like, a legitimate team, one of the better teams in the league for the, you know, we'll say the next decade, because I don't like to throw the word rebuild around, but it's kind of like a retooling period we've been going through the last, I would say, 3 years. You know, the transitioning from, you know, the coaching staff to the quarterback, and, you know, even some fan favorite guys, you know, departing, and now we're kind of replacing them now. And we're also in the process of some, like you mentioned, Cam, is it Jurgens or Jurgens?
Yeah, I guess it's Jurgens. I guess I was saying it wrong. Yeah.
Like, that's a prime example right there. Like, he's going to be viewed as, you know, Jason Kelce's replacement one day. So, like, you're literally looking at things like that. Jordan Davis, we could be looking at being Fletcher Cox's replacement, mm-hmm. you know, who's still on the roster. Brandon Graham's still here. Obviously, is he a starter or a rotation guy? I'd assume he's going to be more
rotation. He started with the first team in preseason, and he looked explosive as anything. He had he stuffed Breece Hall for no gain in the first series, and he also applied pressure on the Kaiser White interception. So, like, he made Zach Wilson throw it probably a bit sooner than he wanted to. So he's looking explosive for a 34-year-old coming off a serious injury. I mean, power to him. But yeah, to your point, to have our first three draft picks, and not even counting AJ Brown, who didn't get any targets, right. We'll talk about that in a second. But the first three picks in this draft, all flashing brilliance, is I'm not used to it. I'm used to missing on picks and hoping for fringe roster guys to step up and shine, and that's not the case this year. Another guy that impressed, I think, on the offensive end was Zach Pascal. And for a guy who was violently throwing up not a few weeks ago, I liked what he showed. He looked strong. He looked crisp in his routes. He had the 132-yarder on a nice little dig route in zone coverage. His man, when he hit the dig route, his defender, like, just kept going straight. I understand they're in quarters, so I guess that's why he kept going. But I liked what I saw from Zach Pascal. And then you talk about the receiving corps, A.J. Brown, who was zero targets. And for Jalen Hurts to go right down the field without even targeting A.J. Brown one time, I mean, I don't know what more you want. It would have been nice to have the explosive, you know, A.J. Brown, but Jalen didn't even look his way.
He created the Goddard touchdown.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. He was a big reason why that Goddard touchdown happened. He attracts so much attention. And when that safety is there in the end zone and A.J. Brown is coming your way, I can't blame the safety for standing there and trying to prevent a play from happening. But that's it with this offense. Pick your poison. Devontae, A.J. Brown, Quez, who had a couple catches. And you got Pascal now, who's proving that he's not here to just be a blocker. And then, of course, Dallas Goedert, who's trying to solidify himself as a top four tight end in this league. Boy, that offense is something. It is something. Any takeaways from the offensive end? How about Miles to you? Were you impressed with Miles? He looked a little juiced in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the question marks with him, I'm never going to question his running ability, carrying the football and stuff like that. Obviously, durability will always be a question with him. But, you know, one of the other weaknesses was his, you know, in the passing game. And, I mean, he took a couple screen passes, nice little yak situations. I mean, the thing is, when he can catch it, he can make stuff happen. Like, when the ball is in his hands, you feel good about it. It's just kind of like, as far as what leads up to that.
You just hope he gets up.
That too, right? Will he survive the play? I don't know. The spacing is just so much better now with just A.J. Brown out there. And obviously, Devontae didn't play in this game. But, I mean, like, the offense just looked... And again, it's one drive, so it was clearly scripted. Like, you know, Sirianni, everybody in charge, I should say, was ready to take on that Jets defense and, you know, just move the ball down the field. Jalen made, you know, all the right reads. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you want from Miles. Kind of bummed out, you know, Kenny G didn't play because I wanted to see how he kind of evolved. Uh-huh. I think he's going to be more valuable in the passing game than Miles. Right. But Miles is the more versatile, better all-around back, by the way, Eagles fans. I know.
Yeah. You know, don't get that.
The stock on Miles went down for some reason and Kenny G went up. But, you know, let's just be clear on some things here. Miles is still the best running back on the team.
Yes, and it's not really close right now either. Another, speaking of running backs, Jason Huntley, 16 carries in the preseason game. It was like, is he the only damn running back left?
We checked out earlier that game, man.
Yeah, once you see Jason Huntley getting handoffs left and right, you're like, all right, there's nothing left to watch, even though Kennedy Brooks did catch a touchdown towards the end of the game. But Jason Huntley, 16 carries, 48 yards, 3 yards a carry, nothing too exciting. About that, but you know, he sticks around for his kick returning ability. Maybe that'll be the case. Here I have three standouts from under the radar. I have three under the radar standouts from week one of the preseason game, and they're actually on the secondary. So number one was Tay Goin, who only allowed one reception on four targets, and
Are in the secondary?
Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah, secondary really? Might be nice. So Tay Goin allowed just one reception on four targets and had a nice tackle on special teams. On one play in particular, Tay Goin was beat on a play in the end zone, but he was able to recover and force the breakup anyway, so I was intrigued by that. Zach McPherson, the other cornerback, only allowed one reception on three targets, and he only allowed a passer rating of 42.4. So two corners looking good. One's a former fourth-round pick. The other one you got back in the Zach Ertz trade. So you hope one of those guys develop and can kind of take the throne when these older guys start inching their way out. So that's good, too. And the other guy is safety Reed Blankenship, who had led the team with eight total tackles. He played 55% of the snaps. He was all over the place for a safety position that isn't showing a whole lot other than Marcus Epps. Jaquaski Tartt has been out of practice for personal reasons. Today was his first day back. Anthony Harris doesn't do anything inspiring. Shasheray has had a good camp. But that safety position is kind of wide open, especially for depth. And Reed Blankenship made some plays on Friday night, and I was intrigued to see that. Steven, any other standouts, takeaways from the preseason game that kind of opened your eyes that maybe I had missed or didn't catch? Because you tend to have an eye for those things.
As far as those two, two corners go, I don't know. I'm not here to, like, rip into either because I think you can do far worse with those guys coming off the bench. Now, obviously, yes. Like
CB four and five. What do you want?
You just hope Slay and Bradbury don't get hurt. God forbid, right. Or you know, even Maddox, I guess, for that case. I mean, like, it's preseason. Who are they really guarding? Like the quarterback, like Zach Wilson looked terrible for what it's worth. Their starting quarterback looked terrible for the like. Yeah. I'm not trying to take away. I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not trying to take away from their performance. Obviously, those numbers don't lie, but I'm just trying to kind of explain the situation here, you know, like, but I guess we do hope one of those two corners pans out. I maybe just for argument's sake will side with Tay Goin just because I like the rangy corners, man. I think
he's 6'1".
In today's NFL, you just need that, man. You just need it. Because yeah, even like is. Slay, who's a little bit bigger, kind of has a hard time with some of the bigger receivers.
Yeah, speaking of guys who fell under the radar, your boy Jalen Reagor lit up the field for 26 yards on three catches.
How did I not make a comment about him? Yeah,
how'd you go this long without doing that?
He had a nice catch. It was a.
If there's anything to take away from Jalen Reagor, it's that the Eagles is that he's on the roster. I remember you said at the end of the game, they're like, "Dude, basically. We made it. He's on the roster. He's on the roster."
Well, yeah, he didn't even suit up for the second half. His pads are off.
Pads are off coming. Yeah, there's no sense in even risking it at this point. He played with the first and the second team, and some people were suggesting that maybe he was auditioning. That's why they kept him in so long, and they were showcasing him for other teams. I don't see it at this point. I know the rumors are swirling around and all that, but it looks like Rager's going to be on
this
roster.
He's just a rotation receiver on the Eagles.
Yeah, especially when your pads are off in the second half. Yeah, those players tend to make the roster. So that's what it looks like it is going to be for Jalen Hurts. Speaking of – or Jalen Reagor, my mistake. Speaking of rumors, word on the streets is – and I'm working to confirm it. I've not heard a set-in-stone confirmation yet, but the word on the street is and the word I've gathered – is that Jay Jaw's tenure in Philadelphia is coming to an end. This is where we're at. He missed practice.
I don't remember
today.
Him doing anything in that preseason game.
No, he
did
not.
Did he play?
He got hurt, I think. No,
of course he did.
I don't know what happened, actually. He got hurt in practice. I don't remember recall seeing him at all in the game. But Jay Jaw missed practice today, and his designation was not injury-related. So, I mean, if that don't tell you the whole story, he either went AWOL or
things really got quiet ever since he switched to tight end, man. Like, I thought,
you know what that is? Switching positions is a good way to make players forget. Is a good way to make people forget about players before they just release them. That's what I'm saying.
They
didn't want to just release them outright. We're going to switch them to a position so that people forget about them, and then we'll just cut them. And then that's what we'll do. So that's just a good way for people to forget about players.
Sure as hell wasn't having a shot in this wide receiver room.
No, hell no. And I mean, the tight ends, I mean, after Dallas Goedert, it gets a little shaky. So they said, man, hey, show us something. And we saw that one drop in practice in the breadbasket and just didn't catch it.
Gosh, man.
So that is just depressing. But yeah, word on the street is that J.A. Jaws is about done here. The Eagles have to cut their roster down from 90 to 85 players by Tuesday at 4 p.m. They did two cuts today. They have to cut three more players, and J.A. Jaws may be one of them. Either way, he will not be here week one is what I'm hearing. So salute to J.A. Jaws. You will be forgotten. No, actually, you won't be. You won't be. Gone but not forgotten for the wrong reasons. So that is why. So rounding out to today for the training camp, Andre Dillard apparently was acting hella light-skinned today and gotten his feelings. I don't know the entire story because we weren't there today, but apparently he got in a fight with Derek Barnett. Let me see if I can find the notes. A brief scuffle between Derek Barnett and Andre Dillard occurred. Both players wrestled each other to the ground. Dillard clearly beat Barnett on a one-on-one rep, leading Barnett to swing. Later in practice, Patrick Johnson and Dillard got into a little scuffle before an actual fight between the two occurred. Johnson gave Dillard a little extra after the whistle, leading Dillard to swing with his left hand. Dillard later got looked at by an Eagles trainer who led him to the locker room, unsure if it was injury-related or if he was just kicked out. So this man, Andre Dillard, talk about fight night. This man, wow. Monday Night Raw came a day early.
Thought he played a lot in the preseason game.
As he should.
Could have sworn I thought he had his pads on.
As he should. He should play a lot in the preseason game. But Dillard's been gradually getting better. He's a solid offensive lineman now. He's probably our most valuable trade piece to this point, and he's had a way better camp than this time last year.
Why got to get traded? Is his cap hit high?
I don't know.
He might be a valuable rotation. Like that's what.
Yeah.
Made
well,
us so
no. That's
the
why
Super
the
Bowl
Eagles
year.
Are keeping him. That's why they're keeping him. They're keeping him for the depth. And he's had a
same
and
with
he's
Barnett.
A solid camp.
I know.
If my lotta goes
that.
Down, if okay, if if my lotta goes down, you feel good about Andre Dillard stepping in for a game or two. So that's why that would happen. But yeah. This man is fisticuffs. How you feel about that?
So I'm. Was this initiated by, like, Barnett? Like, Barnett was involved, right?
Apparently, Dillard beat Barnett on a rep, and then, like, Barnett got mad, and then Dillard, like...
Okay, so this guy is... It's always him, man. It's always him.
Let me see. Sirianni was right. Dillard clearly beat Barnett on a one-on-one rep, leading to Barnett to swing. So Barnett swung first.
Oh, my gosh, dude. He's always... It's always him, man.
Yeah, that is interesting. So more important... things as far as
which by the way is today. Normal guys, it's a competitive
yeah,
environment.
So you can fight in training camp, it happens.
My gosh,
even though I always like to make a big deal when that happens to Dallas players because they are always in shambles, so yeah, well, I always make a big deal, or when anybody in division does that, so that's funny. More important issues to training camp, obviously Devontae Smith returned today and he looked hella good. Apparently from reporters said that Devontae Smith beat James Bradbury deep with a great pass coming from Hurts. Devontae Smith then caught a pass over both Zach McPherson and Avante Maddox and held on to the ball as both defenders fell to the ground. Smith then scored a touchdown on the play. Great throw by Hurts to fit the ball into tight coverage. So good to see Devontae back from that groin injury. Would love to see him in preseason because this is now the second consecutive season and we have not been able to watch him in person. He missed both open practices the last year and this year. Didn't get to watch him this year. I'd be shocked if we even see starters in these two remaining preseason games because Sirianni loves these joint practices. They're going to get all that work they can in that. So excited about Smitty being back in practice. We all are, I assume.
is he becoming the, like, all right, how do I explain this? I don't want to say like the Iverson of the team, but is he like the non-practice player? Like this dude just shows up on game day? Like that's what it's turning into.
I mean, we all know what he is. He don't need to.
Oh yeah, I'm not
we
saying
talk about
no,
practice.
He was the most refined, you could argue the most refined player in that draft. Like the route running, like all of that. I'm not saying he needs it.
He might be the most technical route runner I've ever watched. And people compare him to Marvin Harrison all the time. And you see it. you see it at times, which is wild to think. Because
can I pat myself on the back really quickly about something?
For what?
I'm getting this vibe from the information that's being relayed to me from you and Eagles reporters that Devontae Smith's play style is exactly as I predicted heading into the season. What I predicted was he was going to be more of a, now that AJ Brown's here, I could be wrong. We'll see. Like, this is all preseason training camp stuff. So, you know, we've been through this several years now on this podcast. What you see now could be totally different than what you see week one, but it seems like he's more of a deeper like presence in this offense, like more of like let his routes develop, whereas like AJ Brown might be doing a little bit of everything. I don't know, it's just the vibe I get, because every time, you know, I hear about Devontae Smith, he's making some, you know, play down the field in, you know, an Eagles practice or whatever.
Well, it's easy to do that when you have a guy like AJ Brown imposing people, but yeah, when you have this receiving core, I assume downfield opportunities are going to be there for Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and Quez Watkins. And as we saw, Zach Pascal in the preseason game, which is encouraging. Other news as far as preseason / training camp, Britton Covey got injured in the preseason game. My pick for the Paul Turner Award. Britton Covey was speculated to have torn a thumb ligament and might have been going on IR. Today it was reported that it was just a thumb sprain. And he wasn't practiced today, but he was limited, so he might be back, and be there to take over that Paul Turner Award. I don't remember seeing Devin Allen in preseason at all. Do you recall seeing him at all?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'll have to go back and watch like the very end of the tape, because if that's where he showed
Rager
up.
Rager did return one punt.
Yeah, he got cracked on that return, didn't he?
I just don't understand.
Hey, you got your wish. You wanted to see him back there. Now he's back there.
Figure it out, man. Like, I don't understand. The depth, we had this conversation, I think, last pod. They literally released the depth chart. Isn't Rager listed as the punt returner?
Yeah, I don't know why he's first. I don't know why he's even first. I don't even know why he's first.
And they're, like, protecting him.
What do you mean?
He only returned one punt. I feel like they like, kept rotating guys.
Oh, yeah, they just want to see, like, who the hell's going to be the damn punt returner. That's what they want to see.
Tell your dad don't block me, dude, before it's too late. Yeah.
Let's get into that. Well, looking towards the regular season, I don't think I relayed this on the last podcast episode yet, but Jameson Williams is out for the week one matchup. I might have mentioned it. I don't remember. But in case I didn't, Jameson Williams is out for week one in Detroit, so the Eagles don't have to worry about
that. It's all right. They have, what's his name over there?
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Detroit fans tell me is better than Devontae Smith. Just
dude, we might have to take
yards.
That road trip to that game, man.
Yeah, they were telling
us. Just for that.
Yeah. And they got DJ Chark and TJ Hockenson. They got a nice little, and Josh Reynolds. They got a nice little core over there. Anything else we missed? I feel like we wrapped that up fairly quickly, but it's been like 30 minutes. Anything else we missed? Any other standouts? Any other plays that stood out to you? I know Gardner didn't impress, and Reed Sinnott looks terrible. And Carson Strong didn't get any snaps in preseason, which is jarring. You kind of want that guy to, you know, try and make the roster. But each of them ended with 80 yards. It only took Hurts 6 attempts to get there. It took the other two like 15 attempts to get there. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of my takeaways were from the starters. And, like, obviously preseason's all about, you know, if we're being honest, preseason is really about the third stringers. You know what I mean? Even, like, the backups, like, they get their reps. But I don't know. This is going to be long. I almost prefer the like training camp period over this because, yeah, man, we still got what, 2 more weeks worth of preseason games. Like, Jalen's probably not going to suit up again. That's it.
He's done for the preseason. He showed his one drive and they took him out, and that was it. Yeah, all right. We've seen everything we need to see, and that is that. That's
all bias aside, though. I needed to see him, and I told you this. I told you this before we walked into the stadium. I needed, and I think I said it on the last pod. Yeah, with Jeff. I'm pretty sure I said it on that. Mm-hmm. I think Jeff asked me, you asked me, what am I looking for most? And I know it's just like a very, very small sample size, but I said, I need to see Jalen down the field in the passing game. And that's what we saw. Like, we saw it on 2 of the 6 passes. This man was down the field. And honestly, man, if the O-line held up on a couple other plays, who knows? He might have left it, you know, let it rip a few more times.
Yeah, and I know that it was called back, but he showed his legs. He is still going to be running the ball. The touchdown was called back.
He should
still be running that ball for all you people that keep calling him a running back. I want a QB and not a RB. Yeah, so that's what they be. That's what they be saying. But yeah, that about wraps up this kind of preseason review and day one of the training camp after preseason. It goes for the, as far as important notes, the Eagles have to trim down to 85 players on Tuesday. And the next preseason game for the Birds is, I don't even know. What day is the next Birds game? It is the Browns Sunday. Sunday at 1 p.m. against the Browns. Mm. Maybe we'll see Deshaun Watson.
First already? Jeez.
Maybe we'll see Deshaun Watson. Who went 1-for-5 in his debut, by the way. So that's why that happened. If you if you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Please leave those ratings. Review 5 stars. Each and every one helps with the exposure of the show. Follow me, Victor Williams, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TheFillyPod. Do the same for my co-host, at Stephen Conrad Jr. Subscribe to the Liberty Line YouTube channel. The vlog will be out within the coming hours/days.
Yeah, we tailgated with Gardner Minshew. Definitely.
Yeah, we met Gardner Minshew. We met
Gardner Minshew, guys. That's probably why he didn't perform so well.
So go to the Liberty Line YouTube channel. Be sure to click the bell for notifications so you don't miss any of the new content that comes to that channel daily. As always, guys, appreciate you. Keep on tabs for the next episode coming out this week. And until the next one, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.